Peace be with you. Friends, today we continue this wonderful reading of the Gospel of Matthew, and we get to the 18th chapter. There's something wonderfully concrete about the Gospel today, because it displays what I would call the ethic of the kingdom. How do people who live in the kingdom of God behave? You know, I know sometimes this talk of God's kingdom can sound very abstract, spiritual in sort of a negative sense. Well, yeah, that's fine, but how does that affect my real life, my day-to-day life? I think especially in Matthew's gospel, I'd encourage you maybe to, at some point, just read through the Gospel of Matthew during this season. You could do it in a couple of sittings easily. But there's something very pragmatic about Matthew. How do we live in light of Christ? How do we live in light of his revelation? Well, this 18th chapter gives us some wonderful, concrete advice. The form of behavior spoken of today is fraternal correction. Correcting a brother or sister who's on the wrong path. Correcting someone who is a sinner. Correcting someone who's hurt us in some way. I don't know anybody sensible who likes to do this. You know, Christians, this is a hard business. Someone is insulting you, they've hurt you, or someone's just on a bad path. They are going towards self-destruction. I don't know anybody who particularly savors bringing this up, talking about it, bringing it to their attention. I mean, speaking for myself, this is about the last thing I like to do. You know, one of my spiritual flaws is I like to be liked. And so bringing up someone's darkness, bringing up their sin, that is not too attractive. But we Christians are truth tellers. That, I think, is one of our practices. We're truth tellers. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, we live in him, right? He's the vine, we're the branches. We live in Christ. That means we have to live in his truth. Isn't it curious that the devil is called the father of lies? That's a great title, I think, for the devil, because all sin is a form of lying. It's getting off the beam of the truth. So we're truth tellers. We have to be, whether we like it or not. Our first reading for today, which kind of echoes the gospel, it's a companion piece, is from the prophet Ezekiel. Listen, the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. You, son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me. Friends, you can find this theme throughout the Bible, clearly in the prophets. Part of our responsibility is to warn others when they're in danger, to tell others when they're wandering from the straight path. Now, I know this command can be seriously abused in the direction of minding other people's business, of snooping and prying and judging and fussing over other people. I know that's the shadow side of it. And that's a terrible thing. And I think the gospel, too, is clear about that. It doesn't mean in a fussy, invasive way, minding other people's business. But, as the old saying goes, abusus non tollit usum. You know, the abuse of something doesn't take away the proper use of it. We have to walk sometimes this necessary and dangerous path of fraternal correction. Just, you know, here's a quick experience that I think a lot of people have had. No one likes it, but sometimes we recognize the importance of intervening when someone is caught in an addiction, drinking too much, and they're doing damage to themselves and others around them. No one likes to do it, but sometimes we have to intervene and say, look, you have to stop this. Here's how you're hurting yourself and others. So, how exactly do we proceed in this? Well, Matthew 18 gives us, I think, some very helpful practical advice. Listen. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've won over your brother. This is a very interesting example to me of a spiritual application of the principle of subsidiarity. Now, what am I talking about? Well, in Catholic social teaching, the principle of subsidiarity is the cornerstone. It says, all issues should be dealt with first at the most local level. And only when it cannot be solved at the local level should you move to the next highest level of authority. In other words, the principle of subsidiarity is a prejudice in favor of the local. Now, it has a political application, that's right. But here we see its moral and spiritual application. Look, somebody is sinning against you. Someone has hurt you. Someone's on an errant path. Okay, what do you do? Think local. Think restricted. The Lord says, tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, what's the advantage of this? Our first instinct, if we're honest with ourselves, our first instinct when someone hurts us is to complain to somebody else. I can't believe what he just said. And you say it to a third party. Then you say it to a fourth party and a fifth party. And you begin complaining, gossiping, backstabbing to everyone around you, except to the one person who could actually benefit from this criticism. Now, fellow sinners, I know this is much easier. That's why I do it. That's why we all do it. It's much easier. We can vent our frustration to somebody else. There's a double problem with it. As I just hinted, it doesn't actually address and solve the problem, and it besmirches that person's reputation. I love when Thomas Aquinas said that besmirching someone's reputation is a violation of the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not steal. We shouldn't steal someone's good name. Well, here's our principle. Go and tell that person what's bugging you. Him or her and nobody else at first. Don't gossip. Don't spread malicious talk. Sit down constructively with that person. You know, think for a minute of all the ways that dysfunctional families relate. One of the marks of a dysfunctional family or community is all kinds of indirect communication. All kinds of passive aggression. I'll talk to someone else about you. I'll get you, but indirectly, through somebody else. That's a sign of a dysfunctional community. The Lord is saying here, I don't want my family and my community to be dysfunctional in this way. There's a problem. You talk to her. You talk to him. I also like how the problem here is named clearly, unambiguously, and in the context of love. When you go to someone and say, look, you hurt me, or you're sinning, or you're on a dangerous path, you're doing it out of love. You want the person to be better. When you gossip behind their back, you're doing it out of a kind of hatred. I'll do it to get you. Be constructive, direct, clear, and loving when you confront sin. Okay, now, let's suppose you do this. You muster the courage, you muster the love, and you do this. And he doesn't listen. He denies it, makes excuses, keeps engaging in the negative behavior. Now what do you do? Well, our instinct would be, okay, now I start gossiping. Now I shout it from the rooftops. Now I tell everybody, no, says the Lord. Follow this principle of subsidiarity. Listen, if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. Isn't that good? Don't tell the whole world. Don't gossip maliciously. Get one or two others who see the same thing, have maybe been sinned against in the same way, and bring them to the person. Sit down and tell him. Now, Christians, what does this accomplish? I think two very important things. It does bring more weight to the situation. And the person will have a much harder time saying, oh, this is not really a problem, when two or three others agree with you. He has a much harder time now wiggling off the hook. He's got to confront his pain. The second thing it does, when you are forced to find two or three others, it's a test of your own perception. You know what? Maybe this is just my little problem. Ooh, that person bugs me. I hate when he does. Well, okay, but maybe that's just you. Maybe it's your personality. And no one else is bothered by this. Looking for those two or three others is a very important test of the objectivity of your own perception. Terrific, terrific. It's a double advantage now. Okay? What if he doesn't listen to the two or three others? Then the Lord says, bring the matter before the church. Okay, now, bring in the community gathered around Jesus in love. Notice he doesn't say, well, bring in the whole world. Bring it out in the public. Bring it to the newspapers. Gossip about it to everybody. No, he doesn't. Move only now to the next level, which is the church, the community of Jesus Christ. Now, if everybody says, yeah, you got this problem, pal. You're doing something that's destructive. He'll have a very hard time, it seems to me, wiggling off the hook. Have a very hard time persisting in his denial. The whole church. But notice, please, it's the church. Those who are committed in love to each other. We're not talking about a public humiliation, but we're talking about a loving attempt to bring the person back on the beam. Then the last step, which is terrific. The Lord says, if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Finally, you follow this process with care and with love, and still the person persists in the sin, in the violence, in the bad behavior. What do? Well, at the end of this process, you might have to expel the person from the community. Is there room for that? Well, you'll find it all throughout the Bible. Paul sometimes expels people from his church, just as the body has to expel something which has become very poisonous. But then notice the language. Treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. An outsider, yes, maybe in tough love, the person has to be excluded from the community. Yes, sometimes even that kind of ostracization must take place. But, Christians, how does Jesus treat the Gentile and the tax collector? Well, we see it in the gospel. He goes out to the outsider and tries to bring them back in. Jesus does not definitively reject the Gentile and the tax collector. On the contrary, he becomes the good shepherd who seeks them out. Sometimes even the ostracized now are sought so they can be brought back into the community. Follow this method in love, and God bless.